And so 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, just quick review. Last Sunday, number 1, if you have the book there, the mistake of competitiveness. And this is the only one that we covered. The main point was number 1, the mistake of competitiveness. We looked at letter A, the characteristics of their behavior. And remember, we talked, really, we emphasized this, and this is where we kind of got stuck, was the envying, strife, and division. And really, each one of these builds on the other. Envying is a feeling, strife is something they say, and then division is something that they did. And it all, how they acted, it all built up, and it all flowed from competitiveness. And we don't want competitiveness in ministry. We are on the same team. We are striving together. Again, that's the theme of the lesson. Then we looked at letter B, the conclusion about their behavior. And remember, we talked about this. We talked about how there's three different types of people in the world. There are the people that are natural man, and it's not referring to males, but natural man, natural mankind. It can be men and women. These are people that are unsaved. They do not know Christ as Savior. The Holy Spirit is not living inside of them. They are completely on their own. God is not their father. In fact, Satan is their father. And today, if you're not saved and you don't know Christ as Savior, you don't know that heaven is your eternal home. I want to say to you lovingly that you are of your father, the devil. But there's hope. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, his Father, God, but by him, but by me," he said, John 14:6. So you can be saved. So don't reject the gospel message. Come to Christ today. He will in no wise cast you out. He will save you. So we have the natural man. Then we have the carnal man. The carnal man we talked about is someone who is saved, but they're living for themselves. They're not living for the Lord. And we could go on and on, but we won't on that. And boy, I think we have way too many Christians that are living this way. I hope you're not one of them. I hope I'm not one of them. I hope we don't want to be one of them. Okay? I hope your wants line up with His wants for you. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen? And then the third one is the spiritual man. And that's what we're striving for. We're striving to be spiritual Christians. It doesn't mean holier than thou. Okay? I didn't say prideful. Spiritual Christians. That's what we're aiming for. And that's where we left off. So that's the mistake of competitiveness. Number two, in your book there, the miracle of cooperation. The blank there is cooperation in ministry. Verse number 5 says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed?" Ministers. And then I mentioned this last Sunday. I've drawn an arrow from verse 5 down to verse 9. Look down at verse 9. "For we are laborers together." We are laborers together with God. And I hope we know that and hope we recognize that today. So, letter A, there was a division of responsibility. So, there was a horizontal cooperation among men, and there was a vertical cooperation with God. We're going to look at that here this afternoon. Okay, division of responsibility. Paul and Apollos, okay? Anytime you have two different people, you have two different ways of thinking, right? You have two different personalities. You have two different backgrounds. You might have two different cultures. We definitely have that in 2021 here in Vancouver. And they had it then. Paul's background involved the Pharisaical training of a rabbi named Gamaliel. Apollos was from Alexandria. Greek philosophy prevailed. And so, literally, you have two people with exact opposite in the sense of background and upbringing culturally. But yet, both were preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both were co-laborers together with God. Both had witnessed to people in Corinth. Both had seen people saved in Corinth. Think about it now. What is the goal? We want people to be saved. We want people to be saved. Now, yes, we want people to be saved. But in addition to that, we want the truth to be lifted up. We don't want to compromise truth. Okay? So people can be saved only through the truth of the Word of God. It's not my job to convince somebody they need to be saved. It's my job to give the gospel. The Holy Spirit of God draws the net. The Holy Spirit of God brings conviction. Remember, we are co-laborers together, but don't leave out that next statement, with God. It is God that brings about repentance in someone's life or brings people to a place of repentance. Paul and Apollos both had witnessed to people. Now, Paul and Apollos, they both had a different way about them. But you have a different way about you. I have a different way about me. I can relate to someone in maybe in a better way. You can relate to someone in a better way than me. So it's not about if we are all exactly alike. In fact, it's a good thing we are not all exactly alike. I'm so thankful that we have varying testimonies. We have varying people here at Anchor Baptist Church. We have varying gifts. Amen. We have varying perspectives. But remember, this is a cooperation ministry, not a competition. So we want to throw out competition in the sense of the local church, and we want to bring in cooperation. Having different members, having different backgrounds, having different testimonies is not a liability. This is a great asset to the work of the Lord within the local church. To have people from all walks of life who all have come to Christ, who all have been saved, who all have been redeemed, whatever the word you want to give it, and now desire to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now desire to bring others to Him just as they were brought to Him. Different people always fill different needs. And that different is not in the sense of, you know, oh, that's different, or, oh, man, they're really different. No, I guess you could look at it in a different way. You could look at it depending on how you say the word. But I'm thankful that Anchor Baptist Church, and I'm sure you're thankful if you have this at the church you're a part of, that there are varying people from different backgrounds and perspectives and experiences of life who can all come together. Turn over quickly to Romans 12. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 12, and it might be in your book there if you have the notebook. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 4. Look what it says in God's Word. For as we have many, that's a word to underline, many members. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? We have many members, but we have one body. What is the body? The body is the church. The local New Testament church. What is a church? Church is a group of called out believers. Called out people from the world who've been saved. They've been baptized. And now are seeking to do the very same thing for others and bring the gospel to others. That is the church. It's a called out assembly. It's an ecclesia. There's Anchor Baptist Church is one local congregation, but it has many members. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the assistant pastor and what we desire. We're following Christ. We're following the Lord. We're following His Word as one unit, but filled with many members. You can offer, you can help, you can be a part of this local church in your own specific way. God has gifted you and God has blessed you. God has gifted. Every saved person has a spiritual gift. And it's talked about there in Romans chapter number 12. Not our emphasis necessarily in this study. But here we're going to give now three things that Paul gives, three facts concerning the division of labor within the local assembly. Okay? So they're there. In our text, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And the first one is the role of servants. Role of servants. Look at verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But, look at the next word, ministers. Ministers. The 6 through 8 is an analogy of those who sow and those who water. Now you think about it. Can it get any more basic than that? Sowing. How many of you have ever planted a garden? All right. My hand is up. How many of you have ever watered the garden? My hand is up. You know what? It doesn't really get much more elementary than that. It doesn't get more, now it doesn't mean it's not hard work. I didn't say that. I said it doesn't get much more simple or elementary than that. In fact, I don't really know how much training it takes to get someone to go out and water the garden. Now, you have to give them a little bit, but it's not very complicated. It's not very complicated to tell someone, okay, this is the area of ground over here. I need you to take this shovel. I need you to take this hoe. I need you to take this rake or whatever instrument, and I need you to break up the ground. We need to prepare the ground for planting. Not a whole lot of training for that. Not a whole lot of attention. Really not a lot really to boast about either, you know. It's not one of these limelight type things, you know. Hey, guess what I did today? I watered the garden. I mean, it was the most unbelievable garden watering you've ever seen. I don't think you've ever heard anybody say that. But they were vital. These jobs were vital. In a sense of gardening, but also in the sense of spiritual things. They are something that anyone can do. Let me just say this to you, lovingly. Anyone and everyone should be a servant. Everyone. Pastor needs to be a servant. Staff need to be servants. Teachers need to be servants. Deacons and ushers and everyone. We don't need a title to be a servant. Just serve. Just be a minister. Be a servant. That is the role. The Bible says about Jesus himself in Matthew 20:28 that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to serve. He came to give his life. He came, yes, to die. What a task. What a high calling. While yes, it doesn't involve a lot of training, and yes, it may not have much applause, and yes, it may not have much patting on the back, but being a servant is being like Christ. Being a servant is following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're following Jesus Christ, you will be a servant. So, that's the first one. Our relationship is about being a servant. Number two, our relationship is connected. Now remember, today we're talking about cooperation and the relationships that are listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. First one was servant. Second one is about it being connected. Being connected. Verse 8, please. Now he that planteth and he that watereth, what's it say? Are one. If we could today wrap a piece of tape, it probably wouldn't be a good idea because then I would have to do this all the time. But you get what I'm saying. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. And if you wrap tape around that, it would look like one giant pointer finger. It would actually be two. It would be a planter and it would be a waterer. But the Apostle Paul said it's actually all one and the same. He that plants, he that waters, two men working in the same field. What is the goal of the planter? I'll tell you the goal of the planter, harvest. All right? What is the goal of the waterer? I'll tell you the goal of the waterer, harvest. The goal of the planter, the goal of the waterer is the same goal. We are interconnected. We are servants. We are not on opposite sides. Well, I do this and you do that. You do that over there and I'm going to do this over here in the church. No, we're going to do it together. We're connected. We're on the same team. We're striving together. God is our Father. Jesus is our Savior. The Holy Spirit is indwelling us as our comforter, as our guide, bringing us to all truth. Competitiveness, out. Right? Cooperation, in. So, we're connected. We are on the same team. That's something to emphasize over and over again. We are all heading toward the same goal. The same goal is to bring honor and glory to God. The same goal is to get the gospel out. Well, we've got these 5,000. Well, not that many now, but we ordered 5,000 door hangers. Do you know what? If you can physically walk for a little bit of a length of time, I'm not making fun. I'm not trying to guilt trip anyone. I'm just saying that the majority of Anchor Baptist Church, the majority could help and be a servant in getting these door hangers and just sticking them on 50 doors a week, 75 doors a week, 100 doors a week. How about you? Why don't you join in? Why don't you be a part of it? Let's get these door hangers out into the community. Let's get these seeds out into the community. You might, again, we are working together. We are connected with one goal, bring honor and glory to God. With one goal, see people come to the church or see people get saved. And we don't even have to see it necessarily. We want to fulfill God's great commission. But we got to remember, we need the laborers. Not to be competitors, but to be cooperating, working together. So we're servants, we're also connected. But then notice, what does he say about our rewards? This is interesting. Look at the end of verse 8. About halfway through. And every man shall receive his, circle that word, his own reward. His own reward. According to his own labor. There it is again, circle that word, own. So, relationship is connected, but our rewards are individual. Our rewards are individual. God sees our labor. Yes, we're on the same team, but you know as well as I do, you know as well as I do, that not everyone on the team participates. Not everyone on the team labors for the Lord. By the way, if you're laboring for yourself, you have your reward. Scripture tells us. If you're laboring for the applause of men, you have your reward. I know from being involved in sports my entire life, and me sometimes being guilty of this, but I don't know how many times I was guilty of it, but it was very minimal, just because I loved the game. But I can tell you, I was on teams many times where other guys, they were loafing around. Other guys were lazy. They weren't running their laps. They were even not running all the laps that they were told to run. You know what happens in sports when you don't practice? You know what happens in sports when you don't put in the time and all of that? It shows. It shows. And by the way, some people are gifted with talent and ability, but you know what? Hard work pays off. Hard work pays off. Let me just say this. The work of the Lord, it's not about the rewards. They come. God takes care of that. No, it's about bringing honor and glory to God. It's about doing what God has saved us. He saved us. He saved us to be. He saved us to do. He saved us to be right with Him. He saved us to walk with Him and hear Him and be in His Word and pray and all of this. And then He saved us to do things. He saved us to serve. And He keeps track of these things. Our Heavenly Father knows exactly what you're doing and what I'm doing. And I'm telling you today, I'm thankful to be a part of the Anchor Baptist Church. And I'm thankful to be able to physically go out and deliver the gospel. But there's going to come a day, maybe even you're listening today and you say, Pastor, I can't go out. But you know what? I'm praying every time you're out there. Praise the Lord. What is that? You're doing the labor of love in prayer. We need both. We need both. And God's keeping track. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. There it is. What is the labor in the church? It's a labor of love. What is the labor of taking the gospel to people, whether it's here in the Vancouver area or around the world? It's a labor of love. Folks, if we love God, we will love people. If we love God, we will labor for God. We don't have to labor for God. We get to. We don't have to take door hangers out. We get to. Think about it. We live in a country that still allows the gospel to go door to door without penalty. How many Christians in certain countries in our world today would love to be able to do that? I tell you what, let's not miss the opportunity. Let's keep working for the Lord. It's a division of responsibility. Okay? All right? We're all servants. We all need to be servants. Our relationship is connected, but our rewards are individual. Letter B. Letter B. There was a divine reliance. Reliance is the word. A divine reliance. Look at verse 9. We've looked at it. For we are laborers together, notice, with God. With God. The word together We can accomplish much, but only when we are together with God. Look up at verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth anything. Nope. It's got to be done, but it's not about us. But it's God who gives the increase. Wow. So now we're going from working together with one another to working together with God. They're both necessary, but we must have God's help. Amen. You know, we must have God's strength. We must have the Holy Spirit's leading at times. Well, all the time, not at times, all the time. But, you know, when we're talking to somebody about the gospel, boy, I don't need to rely on a Bible college diploma. I need to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. I don't need to rely on Faith Bible Institute diploma. I need to rely on God's Spirit putting words into my heart and knowing what to say to someone. So we are co-laborers together with God. There was a divine reliance. God is our companion in the work. I like what Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, and I referenced this in our devotions this week. By the way, if you're not getting the church emails, there's at least one every day. In the morning, I send out a devotional with a couple of paragraphs. And if you're not getting that, it means that you're not logged into the Google group. Now, for the longest time, you had to sign up for it. But if you want me to add your name, I can do that. And there might be people at Anchor Baptist Church, you're not getting the emails. A lot of things are sent out on this group email list. And so please let us know if we can get you on that list. You can email me at anchorbaptistburnaby@gmail.com. It's for people from Anchor Baptist, so I don't mean to be unkind, but it's not for everybody maybe listening on this today. But if you're not getting those emails, I sure hope we can get you on that list. But anyway, one of the verses I referenced was Matthew 28:20, where Jesus says, right at the end of his time after his resurrection, he's just about ready to go back to heaven, he says, "Lo, I am with you always. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so, you know what? I'm sometimes we get so down in the dumps, we get so discouraged, we get so depressed and so defeated, and all the other things that Satan will bring into our heart, into our life, and we think, man, I'm just here all by myself, you know, the Elijah syndrome and all of that. But no, we're not. No, we're not. Don't forget Matthew 28:20. "Lo, I am with you always." There's no time that God has abandoned his children. There is no time. Let's make it personal. There's no time that God has abandoned you. It's not how hard you work in the for the Lord. It's how hard you work with God. He is the difference maker. He is the sustainer. Right? I'm not. I'm weak. I'm prone to fail. I'm prone to fall. We all are, aren't we? We need that reliance. We need to lean on His arms. Proverbs tells us, right? They're everlasting. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean on Jesus. Lean on the Lord. Work with Him. Don't try to win your family to Christ without the Lord. It won't work. Go with God. Amen? So He is the companion in the work. But also notice, He is the owner of the work. God is the owner of the work. Look at verse 9. "Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." So Paul takes it from agricultural husbandry to architectural building. But in either case, architecture, agricultural or architecture, it's saying this. Paul, it's saying the same thing. God is the one in charge of the project. By the way, God is in charge of Anchor Baptist Church. Jesus said, it's His church. I will build my church. Anchor Baptist Church is anchored in Jesus. Oh, pray that we always stay anchored in Jesus. We don't want to be anchored in the pastor. We don't want to be anchored in an assistant pastor or anybody. We don't want to be anchored in anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be anchored in the world. Oh my, Corinth. Hello, Corinth. We don't want to be anchored in times of change and in drifting away from the principles of the Word of God, as so many churches have done. And now so many even churches that are condoning things that are very clearly condemned in the Bible, like gay marriage, homosexual marriage, and even letting people of that ilk into the pulpit. Oh my goodness. At church, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. They forgot, or they deny, who is in charge of the church. It's not the cultural norms of the day that should be leading the church. No, it's the Word of God. And so, whether it's that or other things, oh my, we must remember that God is the owner of the work. It's not Pastor Turner's church. Please don't call it my church, because it's not my church. This is God's church. And yes, I'm the under-shepherd. Yes, I'm a member. Yes, I have a responsibility, and so do you if you're a member of Anchor Baptist Church. And by the way, everybody needs a church home. Everybody needs a church home. Do you have a church home? Internet church is not church home. You need a church home. You need to submit yourself to a church. I need to submit myself to a church. I'm submitted to the Anchor Baptist Church, who is submitted to the things of the Word of God. Are you a member of the church that you're attending? Oh boy, if not, you need to get right. You need to get that right. You need to call your pastor up and get a meeting up ASAP. I believe every Christian should be a member of a local Bible preaching church. It's God that is the owner of the work. And then, notice in verse 10, the Bible says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, Paul is writing, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. God is the enabler for the work. Notice, the wise master builder. How was he the wise master builder? First phrase of the verse, according to the grace of God. How has Anchor Baptist Church been going now for over 20 years? According to the grace of God. How have we been able to support missionaries? Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, according to the grace of God. How have we been able to baptize scores and scores of people through the years? According to the grace of God. Have we been able to minister in the last 2 years in changing this and changing that and over here and over there and over yonder? According to the grace of God. How have we been able to have the RU ministry and prison ministry in the past and public school ministry? We'd love to have all these going again. Pray with us about that. Nursing home ministry, we need to pray about that. How does all this, to the glory of God, I say it, but I'm saying we don't do it unless it's by the grace of God. We cannot do what we are supposed to do in our own self. We are the wise master builder, but Paul said, because of the grace of God. Notice that, beginning of verse 9, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. Aren't you glad today that the grace of God has been given unto you? I'm so privileged and blessed to be able to be called a child of the King. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to be on my way to heaven. I don't deserve to be a husband, father, a pastor, brother in Christ. I don't deserve any of that. And I only have it by the grace of God. You only have it by the grace of God. Oh, thank God for His grace. Neither the sower nor the one who's watering brings life. You know, we don't go out there and plant the seed and then water the seed and then the third guy comes around and says, okay, grow. He'd be standing there all winter. Actually, not all winter, excuse me. All summer, all spring, all summer. He'd be saying, grow, and nothing's going to happen. Because it isn't in you and it isn't in me to bring growth. Planting and watering, yes, it contributes to it, but no, that's the miracle working power of God. Only God produces life. Life and the inception of life is dependent on God for these miraculous functions. Can I say this? Only God brings salvation to a soul. Only God transforms a life. Only by the grace of God can anything good come out of my life, your life, or the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church. Let's never lose sight of that. Let's never start getting a big head. Let's always be thankful for the grace of God. Go with me quickly to John 15. John 15. Many of you know this verse from memory. John 15. Oh, thanks be to God that we can strive together in ministry. John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, the vine, and I in him, the branches, the same bringeth forth what, church? Much fruit. You're going to bring forth much fruit? You're going to have to abide in the Lord. Not in the church, not in the pastor, not in the whoever. No, you abide in the vine. How do you abide in the vine? You walk with the Lord. This all works together, doesn't it? Your walk with the Lord really is the beginning of all of this. My walk with the Lord is vital to bearing fruit. That's how I abide in the vine. If you abide in me, Jesus said, you're going to bear much fruit. Because then he says, for without the vine, you can do nothing. Who's the vine? Jesus Christ. Are you looking at your Christian life and you're trying to see where is the fruit? Well, the first place you look is, are you abiding in the vine? If I had a vacuum cleaner here today, and I don't have one here, we have one at the office here at the church, but if I had a vacuum cleaner here today and I took that vacuum cleaner all around the office and I went over the carpet, and we just have a few areas where there's carpet and there's rugs and, of course, the steps. And then I got done, and I had Pastor Nathan come and look at it, and he looked it over, and he said, Pastor, I don't know what to tell you, but this floor's a mess. These steps are a mess. He's got an eagle eye, too, so he's not going to miss that. And I said, well, I vacuumed. I took the vacuum, and I ran over the floor with the vacuum, and Pastor Nathan says, Pastor, I didn't hear the vacuum running at all. The whole time, I've been here, you've been here, I saw you get the vacuum out, but I never heard it turn on. And I say to him, what do you mean turn on? I thought you just you know I'm being a little facetious about this. But unless you plug that vacuum cleaner in to the power source, it doesn't matter how many times you run that vacuum cleaner that's a power vacuum cleaner over the floor. It's not going to suck up any dirt. It's not going to sweep up any dust. It's not going to take up any rocks and particles and things like that unless you plug it into the power source and turn it on. You know what? We can go about our day, one, two, all week long, and we can get to the end of the week and think, I don't have any fruit for the Lord. But I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did that. That's the problem. We tried to do it all. We never plugged into the vine. We never tapped into the vine. We never got close to the Lord during the week. We never had much of a walk with Him. I mean, we opened our Bible up, and we read a few verses, but we shut it, and nothing changed. That's just like vacuuming the floor without plugging in the vacuum cleaner. Oh, my friend, let me tell you today, to get the work of the Lord done, we need to take the time, a little bit of extra time, to plug into the power source. Have you plugged into Jesus today? Are you trying to live your Christian life without Him? Wow. Number one, there was the mistake of competitiveness. And number two, today, the miracle of cooperation. Oh, I tell you, I'm so thankful. If you're a part of Anchor Baptist Church, it's a blessing to be co-laborers together with you and with God. Let's take our labor to God to a greater level. Our labor for God to a greater level. How do we do that? We love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Do you love Him that way? You know, you may not be connected to the vine at all this afternoon. In fact, you might be lost and on your way to hell this afternoon. And Jesus says to you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus says to you, I and my Father are one. Jesus says to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Only Jesus can give eternal life. Are you saved this afternoon? Are you sure that heaven is your eternal home? You can be saved right now. You can go to the Lord right now, and you can confess that you're a sinner. You can tell Him, I know Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. I know He was buried. I know He rose again. I believe what the Bible says. He is the Son of God, and I want Him to be my Savior. Jesus, please come into my life and save me now. Forgive me of my sin, and provide that home in heaven for me, and help me to live my life for your glory and for your honor. Thank you, Jesus. I want to be saved today. You can ask Him to save you today. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Come to Christ today. Oh, church, we need a revival of cooperation, striving together in cooperation. Let's pray.